we have a very special guest, Pollyanna Turner. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here this morning.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. I'm fascinated by this. I'm a bloke.
Yes.
I know.
And I'm not a bloke, but I'm running this project about blokes.
You're not a bloke, but you're here to talk about blokes.
Yes.
And our ways and
indeed.
And indeed our behaviours.
Yeah, so in autumn 2016, the company Change in Relations toured a powerful play sharing women's stories of domestic abuse. And this was a result of the Women's Voices project, which drove forward in response to women telling us that they felt empowered to be heard and given a voice. But throughout this delivery, we had lots of men asking us, well, what about men? Kind of, why do you only work with women? And it was really important that we listened to them. And actually, we absolutely recognised that In the terms of domestic abuse, men can be victims of it. However, we wanted to broaden out the spectrum of what that potential could be. So we also know that 85% of violent crime is committed by men. And this got us thinking about, why does violence shape the nature or the narrative of masculinity? In our own area of County Durham in the northeast, suicide is in fact the biggest killer of men under 45, and nationally 76% of suicide is men. So this led us to devise the Men's Voices Project to try and ask men how messages of masculinity have shaped them and how these messages could contribute to the known health and social challenges that men face.
Is there any evidence to suggest there is a correlation between the suicide issue with men? Is it under the age of 35?
Under the age of 45 in our County Durham area, but 35 nationally.
35 nationally, yeah.
We haven't found any evidence yet, but that's what kind of got us thinking in terms of the social kind of impact message for our project. Is there a relationship between why men are predominantly being violent or kind of hurting themselves? So we wanted to speak to men generally without kind of putting an angle on it, to see what it is that they wanted to say, how they wanted to be heard, and see if, as a result of this research project and exhibition, if we can start finding some of those answers as to, you know, why this is happening, and can we help men ultimately?
It seems to me that you are giving men the opportunity to express themselves, perhaps, in ways that they have never been able to express themselves before.
Yeah, certainly. So I've been working with two other artists, Rupert Philbrick, who's a sound and film artist, and Chris Robinson, who is a writer and performance poet. And we've been delivering creative workshops with men across the Northeast and boys for the last couple of months over the summer. And we've been providing an opportunity for them to share sort of verbally and creatively in making the work that questions some of these attitudes. And it's been really empowering for them. They've been able to find a space to speak and admit that perhaps without that safe space and without this opportunity, it's something they wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm. Pollyanna Turner is a local artist and is involved in the Changing Relationships art exhibition that's coming up, entitled Men's Voices. And 7th of October in Durham?
It opens on the 7th of October in Empty Shop's Test Gallery space, which is above the bus station in Durham City.
Yeah.
Okay. And runs to the 15th of October.
You've been out gathering all of this data. You've been working with various males right across a huge age range, haven't you?
Yeah.
In various establishments throughout the North. So tell us what you've been up to.
So myself, Rupert and Chris have been out working with probably about 50 men in total across about 3 months. So the age range of the men that have contributed to the exhibition is 14 to 73. So we've captured quite a wide shot. And the work that the men have been doing, as well as sharing their stories and opinions, they've also been creating artwork with myself, and that will be shared as part of the exhibition alongside the professional artist's work. And the question of what will be there, I'm not quite sure yet. I'm still in the middle of sewing bits together myself. But there'll be an opportunity for the public to take part in contributing their attitudes and opinions as well. So it's a research stage of the project, so it's not a finite answer as to what it is to be a man or how we can help men feel more empowered and give a voice to them. It's an opportunity for people to come in and share their opinions and stories and see the work that's produced as well. And on the 14th of October, we'll actually have a public workshop day where people can come and make artwork themselves as well.
So we can actually contribute in some way to the exhibition whilst we're there.
Definitely. It's really important as a company and as a group of artists that we aren't taking people's stories and making something out of them for our own gain, but that it is about the truth and honesty of real people and their opinions. So there'll be an opportunity for people to come and get involved in some of the activities that we've been delivering in our workshops over the last couple of months, and that will help shape an educational resource that we're hoping to create to share with schools in the sort of spring of next year.
Okay. What were the thoughts of the very youngest you worked with in terms of what it is to be a man?
It's been really interesting. I've been working with a fantastic group of lads. I'm back in there this week at the Woodland School in Ferry Hill, and they were very quick to come up with a description of what it was to be a man and to be masculine, and these powerful images of strong, responsible, breadwinner, muscly. But when I asked them how they felt about themselves and whether this was an image that reflected themselves, they were quick to say no. And what we've been able to do through their creative writing and poetry work and their visual artwork as well is start to explore how they see themselves as individuals. And that's been really interesting, and I felt very proud to be part of that project with them in going through that journey and having an opportunity to speak out about how they felt rather than the image of how they might be described by other people.
Did you find much evidence of what we might call gender shaping?
There are the gender norms, certainly. Each group, it was quite easy to describe what they thought a man should be, how they were told that they should be as men. Also, quite a lot of men felt that they should be. The older groups that we worked with still came from a culture of feeling that they should be the breadwinner, feeling that they should be the man of the house.
Yeah.
And they described struggling with... One man described in Eldon how he felt sorry for men under 21 because he said he wasn't sure that they would know what their role was in society, because the shape or the kind of the norm of what a man should be is changing, and how he was glad that he'd kind of got over that and grown up, because he said that he felt it was quite difficult to know what a man actually kind of could be and do in today's society.
Okay. In terms of violence in particular, we all know what it's like to be in the playground, and we see the games that young boys play. And I mean, this is a huge, huge issue. But they do play somewhat violent games, don't they?
Yeah, and it's hard to... I was working with a group last week in asking them, you know, is it okay for a man to hit another man? And the answer that they gave was yes. But when I asked them why, they couldn't describe it. And we started to explore the attitudes or the kind of the relationship between growing up as young boys and being encouraged to play fight and being encouraged to play with toys. And there's lots of research that kind of explores whether we should be shaping children in terms of gender and allowing them to play with violent toys or violent video games and what that leads to. But they didn't see it themselves. And I guess that's where, as a woman involved in this project, it's quite interesting to step back and kind of look at actually gaining the information from men rather than just statistics and what that says about men. But I certainly think there is something in the way in which we speak to very young boys. And if we kind of pass it on to girls, we don't encourage girls to play fight. We don't encourage girls. If a girl hit her friend, we would address that issue. But if a young boy was to hit his friend or punch his friend in the arm, we start to talk about this idea of banter and about kind of toughening up. And I think it's these attitudes that we need to look at as a kind of wider society and say, well, what's the impact of that? Because we've got the evidence that men are describing themselves as this stereotype, this provider, this strong, this person, but we've also got the evidence that says that men are reporting much lower life satisfaction, that men are nearly three times more likely to be alcohol dependent, that 86% of violent crime is men. And I think it's really important that we look at putting these two coins together and seeing, you know, why.
My word. Did you get to ask the boys, was it all right for a man to hit a woman?
We did ask those questions because, you know, initially the project did stem out of our Women's Voices project, where strong women's voice came to describe their experiences of domestic abuse. So we wanted to ask the attitudes of, was it okay for a man to play with a doll? Was it okay for a man to be a childminder? Was it okay for a man to hit a woman? And across the board, sort of 90% of the answers were, no, it's not okay for a man to hit a woman. But going back to that question, is it okay for a man to hit a man? They said yes. So it's asking that, why? You know, why are we creating a different set of rules for men and women when it's clearly having a negative impact on men? And these this shape of masculinity isn't a positive one, and it has negative associations, and it's clearly hurting men.
We're human beings, and we have these traits. Men and women, both the same in some cases, but men, it seems, are more violent. Here we are talking to Pollyanna Turner. So during the course of the work that you've been doing with men and boys,
yep,
over the past several weeks, months, whatever, what sort of ways have they been expressing themselves in? What sort of media have they been using to get this idea across? What is it to be a man?
Yeah, we've been delivering a range of creative workshops as the research phase to gain content for the men and boys to create work to exhibit themselves and to inspire ourselves as artists to create our own responses. So with Chris, they've been working with words. She's a writer and performance poet, so they've been creating poems. They've been creating pieces of text that will be exhibited as part of the exhibition. Chris herself will be performing some of her own poetry that she's been creating at our private view on the 9th of October. With Rupert, who's a sound artist, he's been speaking to the men and recording interviews. Rupert works in very interesting ways to create sound installations. So he's working on a film and sound piece that will echo the voice of the man in his own creative way. And myself, as a visual artist, it was a conscious decision to work with the men in traditionally kind of media that was traditionally seen as feminine, so textiles, embroidering, cross-stitch. And I wanted to do that to create a juxtaposition between what the men were saying and how it was seen. So, for example, cross-stitching the word beard with an intricate pattern of flowers starts to raise questions in itself. And along the route of the men creating the work, which actually they've enjoyed as quite a methodical process where they've been able to continue to speak through creating it, it's already raised questions from people saying, well, you know, why are you doing that? That's not what you should be doing with cross-stitch. And I guess the reason that I've been working in that way is because I want us to question. I want us to question the attitudes that we're assuming about men. I want us to question the way that we think about ourselves, men think about themselves, and women think about men. There's a broad range. It's a multimedia exhibition which will share the work of the community participants in their own gallery space at Empty Shop, and it will share the work of ourselves, the professional artists, alongside that. So I've been creating large banner pieces inspired by the Durham Miners gala banners and the kind of confessional pieces of Tracy Emin. And we'll have a very large installation, which I'll leave it for people to come and see, where the sound will be coming out of. But it's a multifaceted exhibition full of words, images, and speaks of a strong voice of the men themselves.
There has been some academic rigour in the work,
yes,
hasn't there?
Yes.
You've been working with Durham University.
Yes, Stephen. Yeah,
Stephen Burrell, yes. But Karen Sibbald, who runs Barnardo's Northeast-based domestic violence perpetrator programme, felt that the project was a good opportunity to get across the message that men can change their behaviour. It's a choice. It's a choice. Now, I have the potential to be extremely violent, nasty with words and actions, but I choose not to. Is it that men can't control it?
And I think it's about being given the opportunity to change it, about being given the opportunity in a platform to know that there is a difference, that there are these statistics that demonstrate that men are more violent, that men are struggling, that men are suffering, that men are choosing to take these paths. More boys are excluded from schools than men. More boys aren't doing well at their exams. More men are going on to have alcohol dependency. But the question why is something that we haven't managed to unpick yet. And I don't know that we're going to find the answer for it. But I think what's been really interesting along the way is creating an opportunity for men and boys to be able to share that there is an alternative. They recognise that these statistics are out there. They recognise that there are men that are taking or making these choices. But what we are trying to do with some of our work, we've been creating a recipe for man. So they've been coming up with the ingredients and the method for making a man that can be healthier, that does make these more positive choices. But I don't just think it's about the men themselves making different choices. I think it's about society and culturally changing and women changing their attitudes as well as to what a man can be, to remove that stereotype, to take down, I guess, as our aim of the exhibition and the project is to encourage the community to reflect on these social constructions of masculinity and the massive impact it has on our lives, asking, could we all be healthier and happier if we're free from some of its constraints? And to ultimately empower our audience to question these destructive social norms that might be unconsciously impacting on men's health and their well-being. And it's about kind of questioning and challenging that social norm, that concept of what man is, rather than attacking men individually and personally, because we can't label all men or, you know, tar all men with the same brush. We have to look at ourselves in a kind of wider context.
This hour has raced by.
It has indeed. Yeah.
Let's just finalise the information about the exhibition itself. Where can we see it? And when?
So the first stage of this project will be shown in a multimedia art exhibition that will be shown in Durham from the 7th of October through to the 15th of October. It will be in Empty Shop's new gallery space. So they're testing out a kind of white cube gallery for the Durham audience, and it's just above the bus station. During that exhibition, we'll be delivering additional workshops with schools, gathering their feedback, and some Durham University students. And on Saturday, the 14th of October, there's your opportunity to get involved in some art making for yourself. The exhibition is an interactive exhibition, so anybody that comes to see the work will be able to share their opinion and their voice and get to see the work made by community participants and the professional artists themselves. But the 14th of October is a chance for you to do some dedicated art making with myself based on the project to go into that, because we're hoping to create something beyond the life of this singular exhibition. We'd like to tour the work further. And as a company, Changing Relations will be creating an educational resource that will support schools and teachers in working with young men and boys in facing some of the challenges that are these destructive social norms on what masculinity is, and trying to improve attitudes and create opportunity for them to break out of those constraints.
We men need to be at peace with ourselves, don't we?
You may say that, Gary. Yeah, I think you need to be, it's not for me to say what men should be, as I'm a woman, but it's very important for me to provide a platform for men to feel empowered and that their voice is shared honestly and openly, and that it's not, I think, changing the voice that is often what men hear to one that they want to say. It seems very clear that men are told how they are supposed to be, that men are assumed to be one thing. But I think this exhibition is really important in breaking down some of those barriers of what men hear and giving them an opportunity to say what they feel.
That almost kind of answers the question, I suppose, I was going to ask you about. I was going to invite you to share some personal reflections from the work that you've been carrying out and as the exhibition is being set up and being opened up to the public. What are those personal reflections of yours?
It's been a challenging project, and I feel a great responsibility. It feels quite heavy on my shoulders. I don't want to sugarcoat some of the messages or some of the actions that men are doing, but equally I don't want to be seen to be blaming men. I think it's really important that that the attitude is that men are individual. As you said this morning, men are people, and I think the personal reflection is that I have met a lot of very interesting young men and boys along the way, and it's been really useful and really interesting and really exciting, and I feel very proud that I've been part of this project and that I have given an authentic kind of platform for men to speak, and that there are occasions when men have really surprised me in what they've said. Sort of when I've been gathering data, sensitive has been the top word that men have used to describe themselves. But equally, it hasn't all been sweet and smooth running. There have been some challenging behaviours and challenging thought processes and opinions shared that I've had to kind of bite my tongue sometimes because I've wanted men to have an authentic platform. And we have seen some of those statistics. We have been working with men who have committed violent crime. We've been working with the young men at Diebold Prison, Young Offenders Institute, who've taken those paths that have led them into prison. We've been working with a group at Barnardo's who are on a domestic violence perpetrator programme. But equally, they're not just that label. We're trying to unpick some of the reasons why men might be taking those paths, but we're also trying to unpick what is man beyond those labels.
Mm. Pollyanna, thank you very much indeed for coming in this morning and sharing all of that with us. And let's hope this exhibition is a huge success and goes on, well, on tour.
On tour, hopefully.
On tour,
yeah.
Yes.
Let's find us on tour somewhere, sometime.
Okay.